Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would speak through me today. Lord, give me what I need to say now. Lord, that we might be nourished by your truth, Lord, your word. Speak through me today, Holy Spirit. Reach through me in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the message kind of goes along with last week about contentment, being content. Even right here and right now, we don't have to wait for that somewhere or that something in the future. God wants you to experience his life now, here. All right? And if you can't learn to find your contentment in the Lord where you're at right now, you won't find it anywhere else or with anything else. Because contentment, true peace comes from the Lord himself. And God has come through the Holy Spirit to dwell within our hearts. And so we have access to his peace 24/7. And we don't have to wait for Sunday morning, amen, to have peace. God wants you to have peace right wherever you find yourself. In the midst of the storm, there is peace available, a supernatural peace, a grace that is greater than anything that you face or experience in this world. You see, life is not based upon external things, but the internal kingdom and the kingdom of God that's within us by the Spirit. And so if we can't find, again, peace and contentment in the Spirit right where we're at here and now, then we're not going to find it anywhere in this world. And many people are running around searching for answers, searching for something to satisfy, and looking in all the wrong places. People are pursuing wealth and popularity and fame and power and all these things, thinking that if I can just attain these things, then somehow I'm going to be satisfied. But we know that true satisfaction is Christ. It's in him. True satisfaction in Christ. Now, the president of Argentina, he once asked a friend this question. Why is South America, with all its mines of iron, copper, coal, silver, gold, and great waterfalls, so far behind North America? What do you think is the reason? And his friend replied, hear it, because South America was founded by the Spanish who came here in search of gold. North America was founded by the Pilgrim Fathers who went there in search of God. And if we live our lives just seeking after blessings of God, such as success or comfort or money, whatever, but not God himself, you'll end up losing everything in the end. Hear me. I know many times we can look around and we, rightly so, we can say, look what the Lord has done. Look how the Lord has blessed me. But so often, guys, we're focusing on just the blessings that we have. And we focus more on the blessing than we do the one who blesses us. And so you can have all the blessings of God and yet not really have God. Are you following? And so if we are focused on the blessings of God but not God himself, in the end there will be nothing. Why? Because all life comes from God. All blessings flow from God. So don't get your eyes on the blessings. But when you give thanks, you're not just saying, Lord, thank you for this and thank you for that, but thank you that you are in my life. Thank you for what you've done for me to make this possible, amen, that I could, amen, receive your blessing. It's about God being first in all things. And so sometimes even the messages that we hear are centered on prosperity and wealth and the getting it all here and now, as one writer said, your best life now. Now, I believe if we're talking about best life as in a relationship with the Lord Jesus, amen, I would say amen to that. But if you're talking about your best life now with just having stuff and prosperity and you know, gold and silver and these things, then you're missing the whole point of life, because the point of life is Jesus. He is the source, amen, of all life. In him we are complete. Hallelujah. And so often, without realizing it, we can look around and somehow justify the fact that we're not really right with God because we've been blessed by God. In other words, I can look around and say, well, look what the Lord has done for me. That must mean somehow I have favor. How many know God blesses everybody? God sends his rain on the what? The just and the unjust. Okay, so sometimes people think because I have these things and this nice stuff or whatever, or this money or this wealth or whatever, that somehow that means that I have God's favor. How many know that people can work and earn a living and make money and have things and possessions, and they can have done that independent really of any relationship, any meaningful relationship from God, other than to maybe just say, thank you, Lord, for these things after the fact, but not really have a heart that pursues God himself, but just the things that you can get from God. And so sometimes we have wrong focus, and if you have wrong focus, then you will dry up spiritually, because the things of this world will only satisfy you to the degree that they're still there and they're still new and shiny. But as soon as they start to lose their lust, they start to wear out, then you're going to be looking for something else to hopefully fill in that void, that, because you have a sense of no satisfaction in the things that you have. Come on. And so God wants to be the one to satisfy the deepest longing of your heart. And life comes from him. So everything needs to be based upon your personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. And then out of that, God takes care of the needs that you have. But sometimes we're putting the needs before we put the Lord. Amen. Before God. So we have to guard against this thing called covetousness. You know, it's always desiring more or greater and not being satisfied in what you have already. So it doesn't matter how much or how little, the key is to be thankful and to be satisfied, amen, right here and right now in what God has blessed you with, whether it be little or much, and find contentment in the Lord. Because life comes from him again. It's not in the things that we possess, as Jesus said. And so without God, would you agree, everything becomes empty? Everything else quickly becomes empty, regardless of how wealthy a person is. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. You know, you have people that are very poor in this world, but they're rich in faith. I mean, they find their satisfaction in the Lord. But you also have people that are very poor in this world that have a problem with covetousness. They always want more. It may not be a big thing to us, but it's a big thing to them that they think, if I can just get more money or get these nice shoes or, you know, this new purse or whatever it might be, or new place to live, then I'm going to be satisfied. I'm going to be happy. And once you get there, then you're regrouping and saying, well, okay, I got what I wanted. Now what? I mean, how many trips to Walmart before you're finally satisfied? I had a friend of mine who used to do the bell ringing, you know, for the Salvation Army. And she stood out there and, you know, rang her bell. And she said some people she saw 5 or 6 times going in and out of Walmart in a day. Because their life revolved around the stuff and the things that they could see and touch and feel. And hopefully they'll find just, if I could just find one more clearance, then I'll be satisfied. You know, and then you come home from the clearance and it goes into the pile, right? Well, hallelujah. By the way, we just made a trip to Goodwill yesterday. We said, we don't need all this. Let's get rid of some of this and bless somebody else with it, right? But, you know, if you live your life seeking after the blessings, but not God himself, you'll never be satisfied in that. And again, most people, they go through life longing for somewhere else, somewhere over the rainbow, you know, or something else that's finally going to make them happy. And but if you seek to find contentment in the things of this world and not in God, you'll never be content. So if we seek satisfaction in the creation rather than the Creator, we will never be satisfied. And a friend of mine recently pointed out that the root of covetousness is ingratitude. You know, isn't that true? And it's true, because when we're not thankful, then we want more. Covetousness means eager or excessive desire especially for wealth or possessions. Now, the Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. Colossians 3:5 says, "So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person or a covetous person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And because of these sins, the anger of God is coming." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "What? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So the point of giving thanks is not to focus so much on the blessings, but on the one who gives the blessings. Again, we can sit around and look and say, "God, you've blessed me. I appreciate the things that you've done for me and the things that you've allowed us to have in this temporary situation in this world," realizing that we're not taking anything with us, as you've heard it said, right? We're not going to be able to take anything with us when we die. But what we can take with us when we die is that which we have given now, here and now, in this world, in obedience to the will of God. We can give our lives away in this world to serve the Lord, amen, and store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. That is something that will last, amen, because the things of this world are temporary. And God is not opposed to you having nice things. Can you say amen? Amen. But so often, nice things end up having us. And if we don't keep a grateful attitude about even the simple things of life, then we can very easily get caught up in this thing called covetousness and always wanting the new shiny thing and never being satisfied. You know, America, God has prospered America. The reason why we're prospered is because our forefathers put God first. They didn't come here seeking gold. They came so that they could have a place to worship God in freedom. You know, and so they didn't come. As a matter of fact, many of them paid with their lives for the freedom that we enjoy today. They came knowing that this might cost them everything. And for most of them, they had very little left, even when they finally arrived here. But they had God and they pursued God and they sought the Lord, because that was to them their greatest treasure. Their greatest joy was to know God and to have the liberty to worship Him the way that they felt led to do. Amen. As they were coming out of a very oppressive situation, a society where they were being told by the state how they were to worship. And so they came here seeking the Lord and seeking a new life where they would have the freedom of religion. And yet again, in South America, you know, the Spanish came over and they were seeking what? Gold and silver and whatever. The conquistadors, right? And that's the difference there. And I believe, guys, that we're witnessing in America now what was once a very prosperous nation is beginning to sink. And why is that? Because I think too often we have turned away from God, seeking God, to seeking things. And we've been seeking things for years and years. Commercialism. Can't have enough. More and more and more. Shop till you drop kind of stuff, you know. And our focus has been wrong. God wants us to get our eyes back on Jesus and His eternal purposes for us, and know that we are pilgrim people that we're passing through, that we're here on a mission, that He wants us to partner with Him and be available for Him to work through, amen, to reach others with the gospel. Hallelujah. There are people that are dying and going to hell, amen, and they need to know our Jesus, that He can rescue them, that He can deliver them, amen, and that He can satisfy the thing that they're trying to satisfy with stuff. Some people are always in and out of relationships because they're hoping that that relationship will bring satisfaction to them. And when it's first thing that the time that partner, that, you know, the person they're with lets them down or doesn't satisfy them like they think they should be satisfied, well, now they're looking for another relationship. Why? Because they're not finding their satisfaction in the Lord. They're finding satisfaction in people. And everything has to have its order. First of all, God. First of all, satisfaction in the Lord, contentment in the Lord, and then relationships. Amen? God wants us to have good relationships. But you cannot depend upon people, amen, to satisfy you. Because they're only going to satisfy you to the degree that they are doing everything that you want them to do. But as soon as they aren't doing what you want them to do, now you're tired of it. I want to change. I want out of this. This is not what I signed up for. Matthew 6:33. You could probably say it with me, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you as well. Yep. See, we as a nation, we've shifted away from the giver, and we focused on the gift. And you know, God is the one that prospered us. God is the one that gives us nice things to enjoy. But guys, if we get our priorities mixed up, and we're not putting God first, we're not seeking God first and putting Him first in our lives, then we become idolatrous. We end up making gods out of things that we possess. We make gods out of people. In fact, they even call it American Idol. I know that's old now, probably. But, you know, they make idols out of celebrities, out of singers, out of, you know, athletes. Sometimes without realizing it. You know, some churches, well, they've got to have Super Bowl Sunday at church because they're afraid people aren't going to come to church. What's wrong with that picture? Well, it's an idol. I don't know about you, but I find more joy in the Lord than I do in anything this world offers. Amen? Nothing wrong with a game, but how many know that games are just like, if your team wins, you're happy for a little while, but then you're looking for the next win. And certainly if they lose, you're not happy. Why? Because your happiness is based upon something that's fleeting, something that is temporary, amen? And something that really cannot satisfy you. But if you put your faith, your whole trust in the Lord fully, amen, then you will be satisfied in Him because God doesn't fail. God always has plenty of grace for us, sufficient grace for us. God is an overflowing, a superabundant God. He came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Amen. Psalms 23, I love this psalm. I'm sure you do too. But satisfaction is having a life filled with the Spirit of God. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. God does what? He anoints our head with oil. And it's speaking of what? The oil is really speaking of the Holy Spirit, right? And our cup overflows. Hallelujah. And I know this is one of the most beloved Psalms of all time. But how many know that the 23rd Psalm does not apply to all humanity? It doesn't apply to everybody. It only applies to those who truly belong to Christ. Only the Lord's people, amen, can receive the benefits of the Lord in that sense. He can satisfy them. You know, if a person is unwilling to forsake their idols, then they will just receive the benefit of the idol here and now, but they will lose in eternity. Isn't it interesting that in all idol worship, there has to be some type of offering, some type of sacrifice that you bring to the idol, whether it's burning incense and bringing gifts or food offerings or whatever they bring to the idol. And most of the time, if not all of the time, the reason why people do that is because they want the idol or that god to give them something that they want or need. Isn't that true? So they go to their idol and they pray to their idol and hoping that this idol, amen, if they bring a sacrifice, will give them something in return that they want. So idol worship is always based upon what I can get from the god. Hear me. And you know what? God knows that we have need. Amen. But we need to be careful that the only time we come to God is because we want something from God. Not coming to God with an offering of thanksgiving, of praise, amen? An offering of my life to Him that I might serve Him in His purposes and live for Him the rest of my days. But instead, many people, all they do is they come to God because they want something or they need something. And often when they get what they need, they're not interested in God anymore. And it's no different than many who worship idols. They're not looking for a relationship with this God. They just want to appease it, and hopefully it'll give them something back in return. Are you hearing me? And it's, so it's always self-centered, is what I'm trying to say. See, God doesn't want us just to be coming to Him because of selfish reasons. He knows that we have need of these things. But He said, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek the Lord above everything else, and God's going to take care of those things, and you're not going to stress out about it. How many here recently have had some close calls financially? Say, man, I don't know what we're going to do here. How are we going to get through this one? Amen. And yet you sought the Lord. Amen. You put God first in your life and you saw God come through. Sometimes at the midnight hour, but He came through. Amen. And He took care of your need. Hallelujah. But that's what God wants, is He wants you. He wants my heart. He wants your heart. He wants relationship with His creation. Hallelujah. And not just to come to Him as a divine sugar daddy or whatever. You're tracking with me? Just always ask and give me, give me, give me, give me. And believe me, I know how to say those prayers. I do it all the time. I'm petitioning the Lord all the time. Amen. But how about when we come together? Amen. Even when we're not in church, but just coming together and giving God thanks and giving God praise. Amen. And offering to Him a song. Amen. Or offering Him your life and say, Lord, I'm here for You. What can I do with You today? Hallelujah. How can I bless You back? How can I love You back the rest of my life? Instead of God, give me, and say, what can I do for You, Jesus? Because I find that when I do for Jesus, He satisfies me. But when I'm asking God to give me these things so I'll be satisfied, I don't find satisfaction in the thing. I find satisfaction in my God. And He'll take care of my temporary needs. Ephesians 5 and verse 5 says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The psalmist declared in Psalm 16:5, he said, O Lord, You are the portion of my inheritance. You see the priority? God, You're my portion. You're what I want more than anything else. I want You above anything else in my life. And my cup. You fill me. Amen? You maintain my lot. In other words, You take care of my stuff. But You are my inheritance. You are the one I seek. You're the one that I want. So he declared the Lord Himself was an inheritance. The Lord was his treasure. The Lord was the one whom the psalmist worshipped. So he wasn't seeking any possessions or comfort which did not proceed from the Lord. You see, we can go about and do our own thing and gain in this world, amen, independent of God. And then we can say, well, God did this. Well, you know, God gave you the ability to get wealth. God gave you the ability to get out of bed and go to work. Hello. Thank God for that. Amen. But understand, it was because God loves you. You know, we give gifts to our children because we love our children. But we want our children to see our heart when we give a gift. We want them to respond back to us when we give them a gift. Not just to take the gift for granted like a lot of entitled young people today who don't appreciate what they have because they've never gone without many of them. But to have a heart of gratitude and not just say, oh, that's great, see you later. But to look at the gift and say, wow, thank you. But to see the heart of the giver. Are you seeing how that works in the relationship? You're going after the heart of God. You're going after a relationship with the Lord. You want to know the Lord. You want to know the fellowship of His Spirit. You want to know His voice. You want to be led of His Spirit. Amen. And we are able to encounter the Lord as we are gathered together as well, and as we share in the life of Christ together, as God works and speaks through one another. You know, there's a song we sang years ago called Have You Seen Jesus My Lord? And that is, it says, have you ever stood in the family with the Lord there in your midst and seen the face of Christ on each other, then I say, you've seen Jesus, my Lord. See, we reflect the image of our Father. And the goodness of the Lord is what makes us attractive. Are you hearing me? The Lord himself is attractive. If we can present Jesus to people and boast and give praise and talk about how good the Lord is to people, they're going to find him attractive because they're going to want what we have. They're going to want our Jesus. Can we just offer the Lord praise? Can we lift up our hands and shout and say, thank you, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus? Can we give God an offering? Some people, we can't even come to church for a few minutes and lift up a praise to God. Instead, it's all about what I want. I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings today. Or maybe I should have. I don't know. Guys, any of us, including myself, we can get caught up in this thing where it just becomes about getting from God all the time, getting from God. How many know that Jesus gave his life for us on that cross? He paid a price, a dear price for us, amen? That we deserve to pay. He suffered and died so we could be free. Hallelujah, we could receive forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and a relationship with him. And what do we do in response to that? God, give me. God, how come? Why not? Why did you do this? Instead of, Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that you're not holding my past against me anymore. Thank you, my sins are forgiven. Thank you, I have new life today because of you and your sacrifice. Lord, thank you for reaching out and scraping me up from the bottom, amen, and giving me a new life, hallelujah, and a new beginning, and a future that is secure. The Lord himself fills our lives. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice the passage says every spiritual blessing. What is the focus on? Not natural things, but on spiritual things. Now hear it. Under the law, the faithful and the obedient Jews would be rewarded with a long life, large family, abundant crops, and protection from their enemies. Deuteronomy 28, verse 2 through 8, you can read that later. It talks about the promises that would come upon the faithful, okay? Now, I believe even today, amen, in the natural, God can bless his people, amen, and he still does with things. But in the New Testament, we're really seeing a shift away from what the Jews only understood because they did not have the Spirit like we did today. They understood the natural things around them. Prosperity, abundance, good crops, children, amen? All these things. But we see a shift, though, in the New Testament. In contrast, they're spiritual. These treasures are non-material. They're invisible and imperishable. How many have ever seen joy in a test tube? You ever seen love in a test tube? Peace? How many have experienced God's love and joy and peace? How about Romans 14:17? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy, what? In the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. You know as well as I do, in this world, there's change, there's decay. It doesn't last. But God wants us to have an inheritance. He wants us to partner with him. He wants us to get a view of the eternal. He wants us to see the superior reality of living a life for him and not just spending ourselves on the temporary things of this world. You will never lose what you give away in obedience to God. Are you hearing me, somebody? You won't lose your life if you give it away for him. You'll find it. The Old Testament saints can only experience some measure of spiritual blessings. But today we can enjoy spiritual blessings that were unknown in previous times. 1 Peter 1:10 says, of this salvation that we now experience, the prophets have inquired, and they searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. Amen. Things which angels desire to look into. We are blessed. Amen. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Notice heavenly places. Our best blessings are in what? Heavenly places, in the heavenlies. The pilgrims that came to America, seeking out a place where they could have the freedom to worship God without government interference. That was of utmost importance to them, and they were willing to pay a great price for that freedom. And they, many of them, as I said previously, many of them paid with their lives. To them, that was more important. It was more important for them to have their freedom and to be able to worship God. Amen. Than to live under oppression and tyranny and have their lives in this world. And many of them didn't survive, did they, that first winter? Majority of them died. But God had a remnant, and God had a plan in all this. Even though not everything that happened might have been good, amen, but God still worked through that situation, and he brought people there that had a relationship, that knew Jesus Christ, amen, so that the gospel would come to this nation first, amen, and then from this nation to the nations of the world. How many know that God has used America greatly, amen, and bringing the gospel to the nations? We are still the number one exporter of missionaries in the world. And so we are blessed to live in such a nation as ours. But we see that the, you know, things are starting to crumble around us again, because for too long we have been focused on the gift and not the giver. We've been just living for prosperity and for the things, the temporary things of this life, and we have forgotten our God. But God is waking up his church. He's waking up his people. Hallelujah. Amen. God is beginning to stir up the hearts of people to intercede and to pray and to call upon him. Amen. For his divine intervention in America, that once again, amen, America will return to its God, and God would forgive our sin and heal our land. God can turn this thing around, amen, and God can make America great again and prosperous again, amen, but we need to trust in the Lord and turn to him and seek the giver and not the gift. Thank you, Lord. Only in Christ, only in the Lord, is there contentment? Is there satisfaction? Ephesians 5:18, you know this so well. I quote it all the time. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. What is he saying? He says, don't try to satisfy yourself with the inferior stuff of this world. All right? Don't go out and get drunk on the wine of the world. Find your satisfaction in the Lord. Because if you don't find your satisfaction in the Lord, if you don't come to him and drink, then you will look for elsewhere. Come on. And the enemy is always lying to people and saying, well, God is not enough. God doesn't satisfy. Isn't that what he told Adam and Eve in the beginning? God's holding out on you. God's not enough. He doesn't really satisfy you like I do. If you just bow down and worship me. God wants to be our portion. He wants to be our cup of blessing. He wants to be our all in all. You know, someone asked a famous evangelist this question. How does one overcome sin? The evangelist filled his cup with water and said, well, it was a full cup. He says, can you pour your drink into this? He says, no, it's full. Thank you. That's the answer. How do you overcome sin? By being filled and staying filled. Because if you're filled and satisfied with God, you're not going to desire the things of the world. You're not going to desire sin. Because the Lord is the one that's satisfying you. But when you allow yourself to become empty, you don't stay filled, amen? Then you're going to attempt to fill that void with other things. And sin, as you know, is destructive. The wages is death, amen? But God wants us to delight ourselves in Him. God wants us to fill our lives and be satisfied in Him. God wants us to be overflowing cups. Hello. So not only are we satisfied, but from the overflow, others are going to be blessed. Amen? Around us. Hallelujah. So you don't just try harder not to sin. You don't try harder not to be tempted. Because you're going to be tempted anyways. But if your life is filled with Jesus, you don't care about those things. You're not interested in those things. The things that I used to get tempted by, I don't anymore. Why? Because I find my satisfaction in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I find that if I allow myself to go and I don't keep the tank full, come on somebody, then all of a sudden these other things can start to become a little more attractive. And that's usually a sign that, you know what, I got to go. I need to shut everything down, shut everything off. I need to get alone with God. Amen. I need to get straight, things straight. Thank you. Satisfied in the Lord. Delighting yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in Him. If you're really delighting yourself in the Lord, then you will find that you delight in the things that He delights in. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. Lord, I want to bear more fruit. Lord, I want to be a more effective witness for You. Lord, you know, Lord, I want to be a man after Your own heart. You know, Lord, I want to bring You glory. Hallelujah. Instead of, Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. How about, Lord, give me the kingdom. Hallelujah. I want what You have for me. You are my bread. You are my daily bread. In You, I'm satisfied. And if I find my satisfaction in the Lord and I stay filled in the Lord, then I'm not going to seek elsewhere. I'm not going to be looking for that somewhere over the rainbow. I'm not going to looking for that new relationship or that new thing or that new toy. You know, you find your contentment in the Lord and God can take care of the rest. So if you fill your life with God, then you won't have room for anything else. Get it? Hallelujah. Because without God, everything else quickly becomes empty, regardless of what you have. Now, I want to say one more thing. Before you can fill a cup with water, it has to be emptied, right? I mean, the water might be polluted. If it's sitting around, I don't recommend that you drink water sat around for a month, right, in a bottle. You got to pour it out, right? It gets rancid. But in order to fill it up, you got to empty it first. And this is the thing, guys. If we're not willing to come before God with an honest heart and to confess our sins and to renounce our sinful ways and get those things out of us that God doesn't want in us, then we're not going to have the capacity to receive what God has. God's not going to cohabitate with the junk. Are you hearing me? So God wants to cleanse us. God wants to purify us. God wants to take out of us anything that defiles. God wants His people to be delivered, amen, from the enemy and his strongholds. And God wants us to allow Him then to have full access to the voids, the emptiness in our hearts, so that we are satisfied in Him and therefore we're not going to be so easily tempted by sin and lesser things that would choke us and cause us to become unfruitful. I want to be saturated with God's presence. Stay filled. And there will be no room for selfishness or sin or Satan. Because we're complete in the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you take a moment right now and ask the Holy Spirit to show if there's anything that maybe you need to deal with? Maybe God has been speaking to you this morning, something I've said that you've heard God speaking through me. that He wants you to deal or settle something right now. Maybe you need to make an attitude adjustment. Would you ask the Lord to help you right now? Lord, search me and try me. Is there any wicked thing in me, Lord? Dear Lord Jesus, I give you full permission, Lord, to root out of me anything that defiles. Lord Jesus, I ask you to deliver me from the evil one. Purge my iniquities. Blot out my transgressions. And Lord, I ask you to fill me with all of you. Come into my heart. Come into every empty place and fill me up, Lord. Satisfy me with you, for only you can satisfy me. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross and for your blood. Your blood avails for me. Lord, forgive me for all my sins. And thank you that I am forgiven. In Jesus' name, come, Holy Spirit. Fill me up. Saturate me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Hallelujah. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Hallelujah. You are God's cup. Would you lift your hands to Him right now? Say, Lord, I lift up my cup. And I ask you to fill me. Overflow me. Overwhelm me. Saturate me with your holy presence. I receive you, Lord Jesus. Have your way in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.